The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back. Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Hey, everyone. My name is Matthew McCabe.
And I'm Steve Anderson. We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going. Today is episode 54.
Yep. We did actually now get 18 episodes in our quote-unquote winter spring season. It's just a delayed delivery.
Yeah, it was a goal of ours to do 18 in this season, and we didn't quite get there, but we did.
Now we did. Yes, yeah. We did. So we're building anticipation in people. You know, people are out there going, wait, there was only 17. What will be the 18th? And today, you find out.
I'm pretty sure we're the only ones who actually had that number in our heads.
I'm pretty confident.
So we were recording this at the Youth Leader Summit in Harvey Cedars, New Jersey, and gathering together with a bunch of friends, new friends, some old friends, and just reflecting, relaxing, and connecting with others, and it's been a great time.
I've never been to Long Beach Island, New Jersey. It's actually quite nice.
Yeah, it's very nice, especially in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, my friend, let's reminisce a little bit.
Yes.
Do you remember the first time we met?
I do remember the first time we met. We met in the Landon House, which is your old offices, some haunted mansion from the Civil War or something.
Yes.
We met there. We met at a prayer meeting.
Right.
With, I think, if I remember correctly, one other person.
Really?
I think it was one other person. I think it was you and I and one other person who actually, I can't even remember who it was.
Okay.
But I remember meeting. Yeah.
Huh. Wonder if it was Jack Gilbert, maybe.
It might have been Jack. Yeah. Okay. Now that you say that, that sounds about right.
So that was 2006?
I would say that's probably either late 2005, probably early 2006. Yeah. I would say January or February of 2006.
That was the result of trying to gather together youth workers to pray together.
Yep.
And we talked about this in episode 00?
A long time ago.
That whole story of trying to gather people together as youth workers to connect and make friendships and pray together and support each other. And that was the beginning.
That was the beginning. A beginning of something quite beautiful.
Oh, you're so sweet.
It really was.
And think about the things that we've done together through the years. From that network gathering, it grew into a pretty significant thing. We would meet every month we started this event.
I can think recently about all the different things the network has done, our Deep Creek retreats, right. our years going to the Simple Youth Ministry Conference together as a network. But yeah, going way back, we started an event together for our youth groups, and it blew up.
It did. Remember that first time we tried it, we had like 400 kids there.
I remember sitting in a room, there were seven youth pastors, and we all kind of were like, well, I think about this many of my kids will come to this event, and I think this many, and we kind of did the math, we're like, I think we could get 125 to 150 in the room, and we were like, that would be a really cool event, and then yeah, it was like 400 people rolled in, and for the next like 6 to 8 months, we just were trying to catch up.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It got wild, which was really cool. It was a really cool thing to be doing that together.
It had a short season.
It did.
Well, at that level.
Yes.
It continued on in other forms for about the next 7-8 years.
Yeah.
Until just a couple years ago, we finally kind of put it to bed forever.
Gangrene.
Yeah.
Our first round of shorts. We put it to bed because it was over. But for us, 1 or 2 years there, it was the thing in the area that just a couple of youth workers got together and said, hey, if we think it's a good idea. I remember the impetus of it. We were like, after 4 or 5 times meeting together and praying together, we were like, well, if we think it's a good idea for us to get together and be encouraged by each other and pray with each other and hang out with each other, we should get our students together. And mm-hmm. someone was like, yeah, let's do that. So it was centered around prayer, and it was pretty amazing.
But even more amazing than that event, which had its shelf life,
yep.
was the friendships and the network that was formed out of that together as friends, as youth pastors.
Yeah, it has been one of the most life-giving things of my time here in Maryland, for sure.
And so you mentioned the trips we took together. We would gather up our local network, anybody that could get away. We went to the Simply Youth Ministry Conference, I think maybe 4 years in a row, something like that.
Yeah, Chicago, St. Louis. No, I'm sorry. Chicago, Louisville, Columbus.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more in there.
Okay.
I can't remember. Anyway.
Well, I just remember the one night in Chicago, we are sitting around a table in the hotel and just started to swap stories. And I laughed like I've never laughed before. I mean, you were telling the story about the missions trip where you were like, you left kids on an island or something. And I remember one of our buddies, Jason, was talking about a missions trip he took kids on where kids were falling out of a canoe. I mean, it was just great stories, lots of laughs.
Hours.
Yeah, we were there for hours.
High velocity at the Marriott.
Oh, my gosh.
I was eating nachos. I remember it because I remember it's a point in time. It's a marker for me of these are my people because the stories weren't as good as we probably think they were, but everybody understood.
Yes.
Everybody, they understood the story at a deeper level than anyone else in the world. Whoever heard that story could understand it. And I just remember thinking, this is, wind is blowing into my sails. I feel refreshed just laughing together with people who get why this is both funny and not funny at the same time.
So we did that every year for a while, and then we started to do our own little retreats annually. And that's really the birth of this podcast, because we wanted to take what we experienced in that friendship and those connections and kind of share it with the world. You and I as friends and the experiences that we've shared, and we could kind of make that an invitation to others to join into it. So we started this podcast about 16, 17 months ago.
Year and a half, wow.
And it's been great.
Been incredible.
And so networking and relationships with other youth workers is really the heartbeat of our lives and this podcast and everything that we're about, which is why we came to the Youth Leader Summit.
Absolutely, because we just knew that it would be another version of that time spent. I mean, sure, there's going to be content. Josh Griffin was speaking, and we knew that would be phenomenal. But the impetus, the drive behind it was, let's go spend 3 days with our people.
Yes.
Even though we don't know them yet. Again, a lot of those people we'd never met before. Right. But we knew on a soul deep level, they're our people. They get us, we get them, and it was going to be good. And sure enough, we sat around eating nachos and swapping stories the other night. And
reintroduced you to Taco Bell after 20 years.
After 20 years, I've been back to Taco Bell, and now I got that monkey back on my back. But it's all right, though. Those little Cinnabon things.
With the cream in them?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they're long like, and right.
They're like obesity bombs.
I know.
But they are good.
Oh, man. I had 2 orders last time I went. I got an order, and then it just wasn't enough. I got one more on the way out the door.
If I go out to your Jeep right now, do I find a little wrapper?
No, because the top's down on the Jeep now. I can't keep wrappers in there. They blow out on the highway. Oh. So I have to actually keep my Jeep clean now in summer. Anyway, so we thought we'd chat with a few people here at the Youth Leader Summit, knowing that if they're here, they probably share a similar bent towards networking and just being together, as well as our good friend Wayne Morgan, who's with the National Network of Youth Ministry, is here representing the network. And so we wanted to sit down and chat with him and a few other guys here at the conference.
Yeah, so we asked Wayne to pick a couple guys from his network to talk to us and share their experiences with the value of networking in their lives and what they've seen happen as a result in their community and really in their own soul. So that's what we did. We got 3 guys together. We had a great conversation, and we're going to share that with you now.
So here is our conversation with Wayne Morgan and Chris McNaney and Brian Krause.
Our first guest today, we have with us Wayne Morgan, who works for the National Network of Youth Ministries.
Yep.
He is the
Northeast Regional Coordinator.
Thank you.
Yeah.
assistant to the regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager, right. Yep.
He has with them Chris McNaney and Brian Krause. They're two of the guys in his local network, and we're just excited to hear what they have to say about how valuable networking has been to them and their journey in youth ministry. So, Wayne, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I tell people I teach youth pastors how to get along. And so one of the things that I believe everything's here for a massive revival, it's simply a matter of connecting the dots. A lot of the times we have our heads down in the trenches in our own ministry and don't realize somebody right down the street or a town away is doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So some of the most valuable times is just getting together with somebody who is a co-laborer, you know, as a brother or sister in arms, and you just get to swap stories and encourage each other and come up with great ideas. And so we're all on the same team. You know, we all have different positions to play. And so just trying to connect people and remind each other that you're not alone in ministry. So,
and you got into this. You were doing youth ministry somewhere else, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I, my first network meeting I went to, I hated it. I actually went to a network meeting. I was hired at a church. My senior pastor quit after 17 years, and so I was there for a whopping week and a half when he quit.
Wow, that sounds like, wow.
Yeah, so I went to a network meeting just trying to figure out what end was up, and a 21-year-old guy, and got to the meeting, and they were all complaining about their senior pastor, and I was like, I hope this gets better, and about 10, 15 minutes in, they didn't get any better. So I dropped a couple bucks to pay for my soda. And I was like, well, at least you guys have a senior pastor, and walked out intending never to go to a network meeting ever again.
Wow, that sounds like a mic drop moment. Like, yo, at least you have one.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, I don't have one of those.
At least you have a senior pastor.
Man. Very dramatic. Oh,
no. I'm picturing this. This whole thing is coming alive to me right now, and it doesn't feel good. I'm not trying to make fun of your
experience.
No. It sounds absolutely terrifying, actually.
It was, man. And whenever somebody talked about getting together with people, I was like, I'm out. No, not interested at all. And then I went to a Youth for Christ function, and the guy was like, that was a director of Youth for Christ, was like, hey, why don't you just get together with us sometime? Every Tuesday we get together for lunch and pray. So we don't really have an agenda, but we get together and we just encourage each other. And I went there, and I was like, it felt like home. I'm like, these guys like each other, and they pray for each other, and they have a passion for the next generation, and they just have a plan of how to work together to equip students to do the work, you know, to do some amazing thing on campus. And I was like, I want to do this. And I actually went on staff with Youth for Christ, and Youth for Christ is all about collaboration, community collaboration. And so the networking thing just kind of blossomed out of that. So, and went to work for National Network of Youth Ministry 6 years ago.
That's awesome. So these two guys.
Yeah.
Who are they? How'd you get connected to them? And they can tell us a little bit how you've been able to help them.
Oh, well, yeah, I think it'd probably be better if you guys just tell how you got connected here in Wilkes-Barre. I mean.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, go for it, Chris.
So Wayne contacted me before I even moved to the area.
That's insane. Next level stalking.
It absolutely was. And it was very much a stalking situation where he had a mutual friend that was saying, hey, this person's coming to the area and to take care of me. So and Wayne really did that. So I started on a Monday, and my first network meeting was on Wednesday. And so I do not know ministry without networking. Mm. And so it really took the invitation from someone. And it wasn't like there was a huge network. It was really building from the ground up at the time. Would you say that's true?
Oh, and, yeah. Everybody
was quitting as you were coming in. No, that was Brian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
So it really took that invitation and a heart for, we want the same thing, right? We have a heart for teenagers finding Jesus in our communities. So it was easy for me to get plugged in, and it was such a super valuable thing to be a part of that network. So,
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I met Wayne years ago at a Christian camp that I was working at, and that he was the speaker for the week. He needed someone with a sound system in their car, and I actually just so happened to put a sound system in with two 12-inch subwoofers. And
that's awesome!
The theme for the summer was amped, and you know, he was trying to amplify, you know, the message of Christ.
Probably the only time they've ever pulled a car into the chapel,
yes,
and turned up the stereo.
Yes,
system.
I got to drive the car into the chapel.
You were
it was
part
great.
Of history, my friend.
It was great, and So just one thing led to another, and I actually ended up getting hired to a position at the church a few years later after I graduated Bible college, and Wayne was there, and I had known Wayne from summer after summer serving at that camp, and he, you know, invited me to a network meeting, and again, as I was coming in,
they were all
either quitting or moving.
The
prior full-time guys, and Wayne kind of sat me down and was like, hey, just a quick crash course on our area. People don't like to work together so much on a church level. Not necessarily youth ministry, because there were guys that did work together and collaborate and did a good job, but those guys, again, were transitioning out. So I was kind of it for a while for as far as full-time.
He's an old guy in ministry, right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 28. We'll be 29 in October. So, but it was – so probably functioned maybe a year and a half to 2 years alone in that with Wayne, you know, and others that were part-time or lay leaders in the area. And then I got a text message from this guy. Hey, you don't know me, but we know Wayne Morgan, and I'm just got hired at the church right next door to you, because where I serve, there's a church right next door. And that was Chris. And he just texted me asking if we could grab breakfast. We went out, hit it off. And, you know, we've had a friendship going and ministry relationship as well going ever since. And then God has just, it's so cool, because the majority of the youth workers in our area, the full-time people, they're all from outside of the area. I'm not native to that area. Chris isn't. There's another two awesome guys that we work with, Jake and Harlan, and then also Tim, who's in charge of WRGN out there, who really champions youth ministry in our area. And we can all just get together. We have friendships. We break bread. We pray for each other. We go to conferences together.
Try not to get arrested together.
Wait,
that feels like there's a story.
Wayne can tell that one. Okay. I want to hear this story. But just thankful for networking. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So before we move on, I have other questions, but could you just expound a little bit on try not to get arrested together?
Well, I didn't have one specific thing that we're like, is there a specific one?
Wait, there's multiple stories? Wait.
I have no idea. Are you talking about the time where I got the shirts for the missions trip and it all looked like we were in a prison van we had bright orange t-shirts, and like someone took a picture and I was driving the van and it looks like a prison work van, basically. It's just this white plain van with all the kids in orange, and I'm sitting there in the driver's seat.
Looked like a work crew.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people hear like national network of youth ministries and a network meeting, the word they key in on is meeting.
Right.
I don't want to go to another meeting. Mm-hmm. Like when you think about meetings, about network meetings, what do they look like? What do they feel like? Like how would you encourage people to get over the fact that, hey, I'm going to another meeting?
Yeah.
Food.
That's a necessity, right? We say that there's two things that you need to have in every meeting. There has to be a little strategy, because there's type A youth pastors, and if there isn't a plan, they get really weirded out. But there also is relationship. And so you've got to be able to manage both. Some strategy people don't think they need relationship, and some relationship people don't think they need strategy. So strategy could be as simple as, hey guys, this is what's going on in my calendar. It could be thinking through planning and teaching together. It could be thinking about big stuff that's going on in the area, whether it's you know, anxiety, depression, suicide. There was a poverty training that these guys were a part of recently, and that was a strategy thing, and it wasn't a huge thing that we pulled out. It was just, we trust each other. I believe out of relationship, strategy grows. Mm-hmm. Because once you trust each other, then it's like, hey, let's try that together. But in that relationship side, there's a praying together. I'm alive because of prayer. And I think that if your youth ministry network isn't getting together to intentionally pray, like there were spurts in my ministry where I would go weeks without really praying for people. Like I would do the, you know, upfront church prayer, but like to actually pray with one another or pray for one another, I think that's got to be a priority. And so your networks can look different. Like there are networks that get together and they walk through a specific philosophy, or there's a specific, you know, they adhere to like a coaching cluster and they get together. But the reality is you can't do ministry alone. So your network can look a lot different. It could be a very strategic network, but make sure that you remember that strategy and relationship walk hand in hand. The other thing is you're working together in the same location, you should at least know who each other are, and be able to identify each other. So a network meeting, a lot of the times, is praying for one another, breaking bread, having a, and then some learn, some go into a war room scenario. We've done everything from doing prayer walks together to trying to plan an event together. And so each network meeting can have its life of its own, as long as you're trying to encourage one another towards reaching more kids.
Is there a bad network member stereotype?
Hey guys, this is the event I have going on. Bring all your kids. Hey, okay, bye.
Yeah, the flyer guy. Yeah.
The flyer guy.
Yeah, there's the flyer guy who comes in only when he has an event. There's the historian. You know?
Oh, we don't have any.
We don't have any. Yeah.
No. The historian. Tell me about the historian.
I think the historian is the one, and now I'm starting to slide into it where you're like, you know, we tried that before and it didn't work. Or they'll tell you all of the bad that has ever happened, and it's like there was. You want to have an awareness of the past, and also have a hope that the gospel can is restorative and regenerative. You know, so the historian is one that we've struggled with in the past. So the flyer guy is the most frustrating, though.
Yeah,
I think. What are some other like stereotypical?
I don't know. It's not necessarily a stereotype, but I think of like, because I've been in a network meeting where that trust isn't there. Mm. And that trust thing you hit on is so key, because like the guys that we work with regularly, we have that trust. And it's so different when you're at a meeting where you're afraid someone's going to bring up a flyer. You're afraid someone is going to be that person that doesn't want to work together or whatever. Something weird's going to happen because we don't trust each other yet.
Or the one-upper.
So good. That's a great one. Yeah. That's really
the
good.
The one-upper.
Yeah.
Oh, you had 45 at youth group on Sunday. I had 47.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
The one upper? Is that the guy you're talking about?
They're the ones that ask numbers.
I'm so happy you baptized that kid. I baptized 7 kids the other night. It was awesome.
And I just want to go back to what like Chris said is trust. And for me, what that looks like is I don't, and I can't speak for Chris, but trust in our network. Like, there's not one guy in our network that I wouldn't trust a night of programming to. Like, if I, for whatever reason, could not be there, and nobody else that I had equipped to do it, and I need, like, Chris, I need a favor. Can you do this? I have no doubt in my mind that he could kill it.
I just did that 2 weeks ago.
Kill it in a good way.
Just 2 weeks ago, I called one of the guys, and I was like, hey, can you cover for me? Because I had an emergency. Can you cover for me tomorrow? And he couldn't, so I called another guy and said, hey, can you cover for me tomorrow? And he said, absolutely. And he was there, and he did a great job.
Awesome. Yeah, that trust, there's also the show-off. You know, not more than just the one-upper. The one-upper is always hearing for somebody else's, and then they've got the story. The show-off is the one that's always on that early adopter phase of stuff, so they always have the newest, nicest, coolest stuff, and it causes insecurity within the group. So, like, when they come in with a new haircut or new whatever, like, the first thing that shoots across, if there's not trust, is what? Sarcasm.
Sure.
And you just try that's to good. Hammer that fact that he is just... Or that he or she is trying to step out in a place where nobody else is comfortable.
I forgot I had my AirPods in. I'll just put them in. I don't forget.
I don't speak broke.
Oh, I saw them. Those are the Gen 1s, you know?
Yeah, so when you have trust, it changes the game.
Like, yeah.
You can joke around about it. I remember, like, conversations about hairstyles and stuff like that. Like, legit, honest, have you ever thought about this type of hairstyle? And I was like... This is so cool. We trust each other. Like, the first thing that's popping into my head is sarcasm because I thought it was a spiritual gift. But
it's not?
It might be.
Okay. All right. There's hope.
We have to have a council about that one.
So, but yeah, that trust factor is the game changer. You can tell the historian, oh, you know what? We're so glad that you are reminding us what God has done in the past. But here's what God is going to do through this part in our community. So,
yeah. All right, you guys have talked a little bit about, like, how being a part of a network impacts your job. Like, hey, I need someone to cover for me. Got a couple people you can call. How has it impacted you just personally in your own walk with Christ and your own just struggle? And I use the word struggle not in a negative way, because being in youth ministry is a struggle.
Right.
It should be.
Right.
But how has being a part of a network kind of helped you personally weather that struggle and stay strong to the task?
Well, just going along that, I think we have a poor theology of struggle as Christians in America. You know, so Jesus said, in this world, you will have struggle. And so not being a part of a community is kind of an arrogant assumption that I will not go through any problems. Yeah. So I need to link arms with people around me that know the way a little bit better or are connected to things that I'm not connected to, that when I hit the really difficult things, then I can just be like, yo, hey, have you guys hit this? Do you guys ever work with this or manage this before? Help me out. And so I think the baseline in that is realizing that we live in a broken world that, and all of us need help sometime. And so starting that conversation before we're in crisis mode is super, super valuable.
Yeah, I'd say for me, I had the benefit of in my like youth ministry education, it had been around long enough for people to know that it's lonely and that it's thankless and that it just feels isolated. And so from the very beginning of my education, they were saying that, and the books are saying that, like, hey, you're going to be alone in this. And so to be able to go right into ministry with this group was world-changing. And I don't know lonely ministry because of that network, because like people just don't understand the life of ministry, you know? Like if you're not in it, you just can't understand it, you can't relate. And so to have that group, especially people outside of my church that, you know, aren't into the our particular struggles in our church, you know, and we can, you know, we can vent about stuff that's going on and you don't know each other's people. So it's really helped to have that understanding around that table.
Yeah, and just to echo what Chris said, I mean, I just remember this past NYWC, you know, out in St. Louis, you know, just bringing something up, a struggle I was having in my ministry context at the church, and just, have you ever struggled, like do you come up against this? And like, then Chris, like, would share something, and I'm like, it's funny, I can be that person who's like looking around and sometimes falls into the comparison trap, if I'm being completely transparent. And I'm just like, man, they're like killing it with this. I mean, I wish I could be doing that. Like, why am I not doing that? Or why didn't I think of that first? But like, then
just the one-upper is just crushing your spirit.
Yeah, right? and he's not that. Like, he's just, God has just really gifted him with that. But well, not the one-upping, but you know what I'm saying. But
anyway, we're tracking with you, Brian.
It's a gift.
But it was just so like therapeutic for me. He'd be like, well, you know, like, this is something that's going on with me too, or like this is something similar that's happened. But even as Chris touched on, loneliness, like, it was a lonely first year and a half. Like, I had Wayne, I had some other people in
but
the
I'm
area
old.
That I knew. No, not that you're old, it's just like, but Wayne has a life too, you know, like, where it's like, but what's really been birthed for me out of this network is actually true friendships with people in the ministry, and again, as Chris said, people who get ministry life, who get the day-to-day struggles, like, you know, it's, I guess, I think there's a lot of, I don't know what the right word is, but there's a lot of naiveness, I guess, maybe for some people in our churches. It's like, oh man, you work at a church. Like, that must be like the best job ever. And don't get me wrong, in certain ways, absolutely. And it's the most rewarding, and I'm thankful for where I'm at. But then it's not all like what you see up front. There's behind the scenes struggles. And I'm not trying to get dark on anybody here, but you need people who have your back, even if it's not, again, not within your church, but people who you have those relationships with, who you can call upon for prayer and for encouragement and for wisdom. And that's what I've found in our network.
Yeah, one of the things, too, that we stumbled on by accident was getting our spouses together. And I remember sitting in the first time we got our spouses together, a buddy of mine, who's in camping ministry, we're sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden we hear our wives like laughing hysterically, and then he looks me dead in the eye and he goes, "We are in so much trouble."
Something unnerving about the spouses conspiring together.
Like,
yes?
They totally understood each other, and that loneliness for our spouses, we just didn't. I mean, it's just not even something that we thought about. And since then, you know, he has said, if it wasn't for your wife and my wife getting together, I don't know if I'd be able to be in ministry anymore. Because he has the camp schedule that is just so erratic from what everybody else, like everybody else in our age bracket and my age bracket, is buying themselves brand new cars and buying, you know, like thinking about retirement. And I'm like, I'm driving two vehicles with 250 plus thousand miles on it. And I'm just trying to figure out how to pay for, you know, the weirdest little
things. You're driving a new car?
Yeah, it's an
09. Anything under 300,000, man.
Yeah, it's a 2009. Oh, it's super new. It's so nice. Only has a little rust. And so, yeah, just the dynamic dynamics of our stress is, and the things that we find hilarious, like, guys, guess what happened at work? I made a kid throw up, yeah, you know? Yeah. And we all laugh about it, and somebody that's like, they're like, that's just so
that's
weird.
That's gross. Chubby Bunny, right?
Chubby Bunny. No, no.
Chubby Bunny is
that's illegal.
It's illegal now.
That's banned.
Don't do it.
Canceled.
If you can see me, I'm winking.
Any final thoughts you guys have on like just the value of networking and the value of anybody who's listening to this just finding their way into a local network?
I'd say if you've been burned, give it another go. Find somebody that's doing it right, and because that's whatever happened, that wasn't Jesus. You know, I'd say that to the people who are just disillusioned with the church. Like, that wasn't Jesus, that was people. So just give it another shot.
Yeah, and again, it's... If you're maybe, you're just like, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. If you're not a part of any network, it's so beneficial and you do need it. You do. Yeah. You won't realize it until you're in it.
Yeah. And I would say drop your logo and ego at the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just be a friend.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because there's so many people out there. The network meeting may not be for you. Like, we are there to help build up the body of Christ. And if we're only building up our body of Christ and our ministry, then we might be missing that pastoral call. And so I'm in this to build myself or to work myself out of a job. And so it might be in my youth ministry, it might be in my church, or it might be in the broader body of Christ. Because like I said, I believe everything's here for a revival. We just have to connect the dots. And so if Jesus used 11 uneducated dudes to transform world history, I'm pretty sure that he could use us if we just, you know, dropped our logos and egos and got together and just collaborated one step at a time.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So you drop the logo and ego. Should you drop the flyer too, or can you bring that in?
You drop the flyer on the table you come in.
All right, perfect, perfect.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. But if your friends aren't a part of the collaboration of developing something, don't invite them.
Yeah.
Because it really isn't a collaboration event. It's you're being a flyer guy. So yeah, there's a lot of practical, pragmatic stuff that I could divulge, but like these guys are way more awesome than me pontificating about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's awesome. Wait. Yeah. Thanks for your stories, guys. I'm hoping that this encourages someone out there who isn't in a network to find some friends.
Mm.
You know, to make themselves vulnerable with other youth workers and really get involved in a greater community. So, yeah, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
My favorite part of that interview was asking the question, what's the stereotype of the network member that drives everyone else crazy?
I knew you were going to say this, and I know exactly what you're going to say. You're going to say flyer guy. Flyer guy.
We've met Flyer Guy.
We've had Flyer Guy in our network before. Exactly. Like, hey, I know I haven't been here in a couple weeks, but...
A couple years.
I got an event coming up. And oh, by the way, I can only stay like 5 minutes, so make sure you get those flyers out.
Really funny that Wayne identified exactly his network what we've experienced.
Oh, my goodness. It was so great. The one-upper.
Yep.
Yeah, the stereotypes, they're all there. But... those things aside.
Despite that,
the conversation that we just heard, the conversation we just were a part of with these three guys, there's another voice reminding you the importance of networking.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your circumstances are, but whatever they are, you've got to find a way to connect with your people.
It's a priority.
It has to be a priority.
I know it's not easy. Yeah, different days off. A lot of the people listening to this podcast are part-time.
Right.
That makes it really challenging. You might be in a rural area where there aren't a lot of others around. You might have really struggled to find this network. But we just encourage you to keep trying. Pray that God will bring you to people who can understand what it's like to be a youth worker and have people that you can really relate to.
Yeah, and again, it can take lots of different forms. I remember when I was back in Oregon, there was a group of youth workers, and some of them were volunteers and some of them were paid workers in similar denominations around the Portland area. So we weren't geographically close, but we started getting together on a Saturday night for a game night.
Wow.
And we would do that probably once every other month, and we would rotate where we went, so different people were driving different distances. And it was a Saturday night, so the volunteers who had regular jobs, one of the guys was an FBA agent,
And so we had to do it.
FBA?
FBI, whatever. One of the guys was an FBI agent, and so...
An FBA agent is the person who cracks down on basketball players who have gone off the rail.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very important people, as well as this FBI agent. And we named our group. We were called Jive Talk. I can't remember where that came from. I think we found the Jive translation of the Bible one time online and just cackled and laughed one whole evening. And so we called it Jive Talk. Hey, when are we going to have Jive Talk again? Yeah, I'm serious.
That sounds like a youth group name from 1989.
Actually, probably could have been. But anyway, so it doesn't have to look the same as ours. It doesn't have to look the same as anybody's. It just, you have to find like-minded people who are in the trenches doing what you're doing and hang out with them and play games or go to dinner and just swap stories, because it will breathe life into you like you don't even know.
And in the meantime, that's what this podcast is for. Absolutely. So we hope that this is helpful to you.
Absolutely.
In that same sense, feeling like you're part of this little mini community with us and swapping stories and hearing how you can encourage others. So that's today's episode, episode 54.
Head out to Instagram. Head out to our Instagram page. And if you look back through our posts, you'll find a post on the Sherpa House.
Yeah.
You can reach out to us on Instagram. We would love to fill that house up with like-minded people where we can swap stories and hang out in the evenings after the convention.
You can also email us at youthministrysherpas@gmail.com, and we will be in touch with you and let you know how you can get a bed.
So, all right.
That's it.
That's it for now. And so for the summer, at least our regular episodes, Sherpas.
Wait.
Wait.
I'm going on sabbatical.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not only Sherpas out, I am Sherpas out.
Out. He's going out. So
it's going to be good, man.
It's going to be great. I'm excited for you. You have this peace about you because it's just days away at this point in time.
It is.
So very excited for you. Anyway.
All right, man.
Sherpas.
Sherpas.
Out. Out. Out.